I have to, excuse me, for sometimes when I think about the song that I'm singing, I get a little bit emotional, and I can't sing the words. But I hope you got them all. Acts chapter 1. Acts is, I don't know about your Bible, but in my Bible it's titled Acts of the Apostles. And it's mentioned in, it gives you a little bit of my Bible, a little bit about the book of Acts. And it says that sometimes it's called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. For without the Holy Spirit, nothing would happen in the church. Nothing would happen in our lives. There's something else that I noticed that I hadn't noticed. I read this book, I'm sure like most of you, a few times, at least twice, in the 44 years that I've been saved. It mentions that the Holy Spirit is mentioned at least 50 times in the 28 or so chapters in the book of Acts. 50 times, or 50-something times. And I thought to myself, that's almost once in each chapter, or almost twice in each chapter. And I started to count them. I started to make a little list. I'm pretty busy in the house. My wife keeps me busy. And a few other things. But so as far as studying, I'm not a real studier, a real reader. So it takes me a long time to read something. So I started to look for the Holy Spirit, and just in the first chapter alone, it's five times. Just in the first chapter. And it doesn't necessarily have to say Holy Spirit. It can be just Spirit or the Spirit of God. But I found it interesting that it's that many times in a small book like the book of Acts. The book of Acts is written by Luke, as we know. At one time, I thought he was one of the apostles. He's not. But God used him in a big way. He wrote a good portion of the New Testament. So let's start off reading at verse 1. And again, I say I'm not a really good reader, so if I make a mistake, just don't say anything about it. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria." I guess that would include Chesterfield or Richmond. And it says, verse 9, "Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.' And when they return to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." We could stop there for a moment. When I was reading this, I was thinking about when he talks about that they should wait for the Holy Spirit. These disciples had lived with Jesus for 3 years. I mean, they ate with him. They slept in the same area. He taught them. They walked with him. And I imagine that he did a lot of talking while they walked, even though that's not necessarily so. But I could picture him talking with them while they're walking. And I was thinking about this. And I said to myself, I wonder what I would have learned from Jesus being with him 3 years, 24 hours a day, basically, let's say. I wonder how much I would have learned from him. Would I have learned as much as I know right now? Could it be possible that I would know more than I know right now? The one thing that I think about is, again, when it talked about in verse 8, when he says, "But you shall receive power." Power. I've heard them also, I think the word means dunamis or dynamite or something like that. And I think about that as far as the Holy Spirit. How do you feel when you think about the Holy Spirit? Do you feel like you have power? When you think about the word power, the word I recognize it as a lot of strength or an explosion. The other day I was sharing with my wife, I was sitting in my car drinking a cup of coffee and I was watching traffic go by. I was at a light and these huge trucks were passing on Holt Street. I mean, tractor trailers. And I was thinking about, as they zoomed by, I could feel my car moving Now, my car weighs close to 4,000 pounds. And yet, because of the force of that truck going by, I could feel the car moving. On a bridge, sometimes, I have also sensed that. A vehicle that big. And when I saw the speed that they were coming by, I thought about what would happen if that truck was coming at me. How far would it take me when it hit me? As far as the power that that truck has behind it. Do you think about that? What you're capable, what we're capable of doing with this, in fact, the power that this is talking about, the power of the Holy Spirit, is so much greater than that truck. It doesn't seem like it if you think about it at first, but it is that much greater because this is God in the form of the Holy Spirit coming into me, coming into you. Think about that. The Spirit of God coming into people like us. I don't know about you, but I wonder about me, you know. But I thank him for that, that he does, even me. And I think about it, I say, how much am I capable of doing? Even though I'm not a good reader, my retainment is not so good. What I do of know, I know quite a bit of scripture. I mean, it's up here. I can't necessarily quote the address for you or the reference, but a lot of times I get into conversations and sometimes somebody will say something, well, Jay, where does it say this? And I could even say, it's in the Bible. Where? I can't tell you right now, but I know it's in there and I have to go find it. And you know, I wish somebody would make a good concordance. You know, where you could, I have a few in the house. They're not all that good. You know, when I try to find something, you'd think that they would all be the same. You know, they're not. Anyway, and for people like me, I think it should be. I think that, I praise the Lord for cell phones. I found something out recently. Excuse me. You can push a certain button on a cell phone and you could ask a question. And if you remember a certain part of the verse, you'll find it. It's amazing. These little black boxes they're amazing. They really are. They're expensive too. Anyway, the power that God gives us. A lot of times, I don't know about you, but me, I wonder if I'm capable of doing something. Now, there are certain things in my life that not God gave me a natural talent for. You know, he gives us all natural talents, certain abilities that he gives us at birth, where I can do things with my hands that many people can't. I had a brother that he was really good at sports. I mean, baseball, boxball. He did everything. I hated him, you know. I didn't really hate him, but I wish I had his talents. But when we grew up and we both were working in Local 3 as electricians, and we were on the same job, and he would say to me, Jay, you should get your license because of the ability that I had to do things. And is anybody watching the time? No, you should be. Yeah, we had 2-3 minutes. He said, you should get your license. And I said, me? And he said, yeah, you do things so well. And I did, praise the Lord. And not because I'm good, but because of the ability that God has given me to do things. Same thing where you have some ladies that are, well, men too, that are great cooks, chefs. In fact, I think somebody told me that the best chefs in the world are men. Put that in your pipes, ladies, and smoke it. Anyway, but I love my wife's cooking. She's a great cook. So I told my brother, I said, you're the one that should get the license. You know, he says, what do you mean? I said, you're the one with the, you know, the brain. Because to get a in New York, to get an electrician's license, the greater part of the test is code, the electrical code. Me, with the code, forget it, you know? But my brother was good. Anyway, so it's abilities that he gives us. But when it comes to spiritual abilities, I sometimes wonder what God had in mind when, because I'm still searching for my spiritual gift, you know. But we're going to have to leave this right there. We do have power. It's an amazing thing. I can tell you this. We're capable. We are capable of doing so, so much. If you feel that you have trouble talking to somebody about Christ, sharing Christ with somebody, witnessing to somebody, you can do it. If I could do it, you could do it. Because of that power that God has given us. And we may question it, because even today I question a lot of times my abilities. But I've seen God use me over and over again. Computers, you can put so much information into a computer, push a button and it pops out. The brain that God gave us, it's better than any computer in the world. Sit down and read, and I have. The information's up here. But God has to push the button for it to come out. I would like to continue this someday, because when it talks about so many, just in this first chapter alone, there's so much stuff. And let's pray. I told you, I'd like to talk. And I pray that something I've said today has encouraged somebody to go on for the Lord. That's why we're here. He saved us. He could have taken us to heaven right away, but he didn't. So whether you're a teenager, oh, how old are you, 50, brother? 50 plus. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your goodness and mercy. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for going to that cross. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives within us. That makes us know that you are real, Lord. As our brother mentioned earlier, taste and see that the Lord is good. You tell us in your word. And because of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we know that these things are true. We can stand upon your word. Thank you for the power that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the nourishment that you've provided in the fellowship hall. We thank you for those, the hands that prepared it, Lord. We pray that as we go and share with one another, that we may enjoy the food, Lord, and we may enjoy each other's company, Father, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.